Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast from Faith Point Church, Auckland, New Zealand. We hope you will encounter God afresh in this week's teaching segment. If you enjoy this podcast and would like to hear more, then you can visit us at www.faithpoint.org.nz. And now for today's message.
Cool. Well, this morning I really want to be able to talk about fanning our flame intentionally. We had a worship song this morning which talked about fresh fire. You know, we can't do anything in our own strength, but we can, but it's not going to get us very, very far. You know, right at the beginning of the year, you know, God seems to speak to us many ways prophetically, but often every year he gives us a word or a couple of words which basically give us direction or illumination for the year ahead. So prophetically, as a church, we believe the Lord is giving us two words. One word is ignite, and one word is ignition. You know, so this morning I want to be able to talk about igniting as opposed to ignition. And so two words there. In Latin, there's a word called carpe diem, seize the day. That's two words. Translate that to English, there's three words, seize the day. So, well, we've got two words, ignite and ignition. So this morning I want to talk about ignition, just to be able to keep us focused for the year. Paul was challenging his disciple, Timothy, to fan the flame within you. We see the challenge in the scripture where Paul had actually prayed and imparted something into this young man's life. But the challenge was for Timothy to actually fan the flame himself. It just didn't happen by itself. And I believe that each of us has been given the Holy Spirit to empower us, to ignite us, to cause us to burn fiercely, not just a little limp flame flickering away. So fan the flame, the gift God has given to us. But God has given us a spirit not to make us timid, but to give us power, love, and self-discipline. Yeah, I really love the fact that the Message Bible explains things a little bit more dynamically. And it says this, and a special gift of ministry you have received when I laid hands upon you, keep that ablaze. God doesn't want us to be shy with his gifts, but he wants us to be bold and loving and sensible. Pretty powerful. And he wants us to be blazing for him. Don't be shy with the gifts that God has given us. You know, I think that many of us have spiritual gifts, which is great, but we also sometimes have natural gifts. You know, I think of Barbara Kendall. You know, she was a sailor, or is a sailor, and she won many gold medals for New Zealand on the windboards, and she had a big smile on her face, but wherever she went, she radiated something. But she was asked to pick up the Olympic torch. Obviously, a flame had been ignited in, I think it was Athens, where the Olympic Games started. And that flame was passed from one person to another, and the baton went around the world from one place, one country to another. And I think each of us need to be able to pick up our torch, our flame, and run diligently with it, with a smile on our face. You know, she was a New Zealander, how well recognized around the world. And I think we've got lots of people within our congregation that are legends in their own right. And we just need to not keep our light to ourselves. We need to be diligent with that gift. Each of us has a gift given to us by the Holy Spirit. You know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit was there for a reason. You know, and the challenge for us is not to just sit on that gift and do nothing with it, but to actually ignite that gift and bring it to the surface. Well, right at the beginning of this year, 2024, I believe God wants us, one, as an individual, to live life intentionally, but also as a church, we'll be doing that as well, living with a focus, not willy-nilly, but honing in on the call of God, doing what he's asking us to do. So what is your purpose for this year? And when you look back at the end of the year and you look back at what's been accomplished, will you recognize what your purpose has been? What is your focus? What is your primary focus? I can't answer that this morning. I've probably got a good idea for many of you what that may be. But as a church, as a leadership, we're going to be focusing on what God's calling us to do. And we know that one of the components of the dynamic is to keep us on course missionally. We know that there's been a paradigm shift in the church, and we're going from basically an additional attractional church to a multiplication missional church. No longer attractional, but missional. So we're a church on focus. You know, we've got our priorities honed in. The structure of the church has changed for a reason. You know, I'm probably preaching to the converted this morning, but we never want us to forget we are a church on mission. We want to be focused. We want to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to drive us forward. You know, the Old Testament church thought, oh, we're a wonderful group of people. We're God's people. And people came to Israel checking out that attractiveness, the Queen of Sheba. And we used to teach this quite clearly in the Kairos course, or the World Mission course that went around the world to hundreds of churches. So we're talking about an attractive force come to the blessing, and people have come to church for blessing. That's okay, but it's not great. The reality is God has always asked his people to be an expansive force. You know, go to the nations. The Great Commission is an outward focusing thing. So sadly, the church has become an inward looking vessel, not an outward tractional focusing bunch of people, God's people. And so I think there's a change. You know, we're going and have transitioned into the expansive force. Each of us individually find us in the marketplace in unique positions that God's placed us. Don't forget that God is doing this for a reason. Thing is, I believe right at the beginning of the year, God is going to challenge us prophetically as an eldership meeting. I think it was mid-December, just before Christmas, the Lord spoke to me very powerfully, and he said, I'm taking the church from what I call a blacksmith mentality to a foundry mentality. And I'm thinking, what are you on about, Lord? And he said, I want to take the church from a blacksmith mentality to a foundry mentality. So this morning, as we talk about fanning our flames and thinking about this, you know, a blacksmith's shop generally has a fire going, and the fire is going to produce a lot of heat, and the implements go in there for repair and fixing. But that fire has got to be constantly tended. You know, they don't start at the beginning of the day and just let it burn out. It's got to keep on being stoked, which is very, very important. But the blacksmith shop has to be better than that. You know, you look at any blacksmith shop, people come with broken tools. They bring things that need to be repaired. You know, horses need to be shod or reshod. Weapons of war, you know, swords were being crafted. A blacksmith shop isn't an easy place to work. Yeah, there's a lot of heat. There's a lot of dust. There's a lot of sweat. Blacksmiths have to get up really early to start the fire. They don't crawl out of bed and start work at 9 o'clock and just turn a switch. You know, they've got to get up early and make sure that the fire is actually well stoked. And when they've got the temperature at the right temperature, it's easy to do so much more. But blacksmith shop really has got one craftsman, one master smith, as it were, and he's focusing on himself. And sometimes they take on apprentices, one or two disciples or one or two apprentices, and they are trained. The thing is, as a church, we want to stoke our fire. And to have a good blacksmith shop, you've got to have a bellows. I was going to bring one of my bellows in this morning and throw it on the screen for you to see. But a bellows is a device which puffs oxygen at the coals, at the embers. And it really lifts and ignites everything to another level. And whenever I think about a bellows, I always think about the Holy Spirit. A bellows, the pneuma, the breath of the Holy Spirit being breathed, pushed onto the flame. And that's what's been happening as a church through the hundreds of years. You know, as our church got started, it's always been a Holy Spirit church, always open to the Holy Spirit, puffing into our lives, into our circumstances. And that's been good, but it's been for a season. And in the season, we've had apprentices, come, and we've had lots of people trained, a lot of younger people, older people, irrespective of age. But we've seen these apprentices become master craftsmen in their own right. Now, I'm thinking of, like, for example, Pastor Summer, who's gone to Fiji, gone through a lot of training and now positioned overseas diligently, and he's training up other people. And that's the blacksmith shop mentality. And I think of the 10 virgins, the parable of the 10 virgins. They were all given a flame. They were given vessels. The wise ones diligently looked after and tended the flame that they had. They didn't squander what they had. They nurtured that well. And I just think the Holy Spirit, again, at the beginning of the year, is saying, come on, guys, lean into me. Let my Holy Spirit empower you afresh. Don't work by yourself. Don't work by your own inclination. Work in partnership with my Holy Spirit. Every day when you get out of bed, let the puff, the breath of God, infuse himself into your circumstances. You've been baptized with the Holy Spirit for a purpose. You know, Paul laid hands on Timothy, and he had not one gift, he had many gifts in his life. And I believe that as we expose ourselves more and more and more into the Holy Spirit, he's going to let his anointing come upon us afresh, you know, whether it's the many, many gifts, whether it's the gift of healing, the miracle, gift of healing, gift of leadership, gift of intercession, gift of administration, gift of helps, whatever the gift that God has given you, let that Holy Spirit infuse himself afresh on you, and let him build that flame within your life. Not let it be wimpery, let it be powerful and strong. The thing is, we've had this blacksmith mentality, but the Holy Spirit saying, I'm taking you into a foundry mentality. Well, a foundry is on a whole different scale again. Like a blacksmith shop has normally got one craftsman, one blacksmith, and some apprentices. But in a foundry, you've got multiple craftsmen working together. It's on a whole different scale. And they've got a whole bunch of apprenticeships, schemes going on, training lots and lots of people. You know, I've been into some of the foundries here in New Zealand. I can think of, I went to one in Thames once where they're doing all these railway wheels and stuff for the railway industries. And another one in Penrose where they're forging all these manhole covers, all these big things. Not little tools, but industrial scales where they're turning out so much. And I think the Lord wants to turn out so much more through his church. You know, unique individuals groomed for the task ahead. Multiple craftsmen, multiple apprentices being used. Yes, we are a church focusing on making disciples who make disciples, but we want to move from a mentality of one here, one there. We want to live with a mindset of multiplication, and that's the focus that we really want to have, intentionally thinking multiplication. So a blacksmith shop, as a church, we want to always engage people. We want to engage young people, old people, all generations, but we want to really be able to look at young people. I love some of the meeting houses where we've got lots of young people in. We don't want to disqualify people because they're too young. We want to be able to engage people from a very, very early age. Just like the boy Samuel, age 7, spoken to by the Lord through dreams in the temple of God, used by the Holy Spirit in a way that just changed so much for so many people in that nation. And so we want to be able to focus on the young people. But as a church, we don't want to think addition. We want to continually think multiplication. And so fortunately, we look back through the years, we've seen in Auckland, we see people spread out. These apprentices now becoming master craftsmen in their own right, looking after meeting houses across the landscape of Auckland, not just Auckland, but through Fiji. And now we're looking through initiatives in Sydney as well, and through the world, like where I'm involved with mission, many, many doors are opening up, and I'm seeing my spiritual sons raise their own children, you know, spiritual sons. You know, I'm a grandfather for many of them there now. And this is like with Pastor Richard, through the power of blessing, These books have been handed on to so many people. It's multiplication beyond our comprehension, beyond our planning. But the Holy Spirit, you can start one fire that can create a blaze that can go just about anywhere, and it becomes unstoppable. Blacksmith shops are important, but foundries are on a different level. And I just think the Holy Spirit is saying, Church, I want to lift your understanding to another level on how I'm empowering your church. Think on an industrial scale. Don't think small, think big. And with any foundry, there's going to be molding. You know, there's templates that have been designed and poured out, and there's molds being done. People are going to have their lives poured into these vessels. There's the forming, there's the honing, you know, there's the filing, the process that goes on. The Holy Spirit wants to pour himself out afresh into us. And, you know, there's the casting as well. You know, each of us are different, but there is a casting, what the Lord wants to do, honing our lives for the future. So hopefully, you know, this is just a picture that you can take away this morning, that God is taking us from the blacksmith mentality. And the Lord is going to fan our flame brighter and brighter. But let's get up every morning, pray that the Holy Spirit's going to really cause our flame to burst forth, not without smoke and just fumes. We want to be powered by the Holy Spirit. And the thing is, just as I close, I think, you know, structurally, churches around the world, their structures are having to change. Why? Because he wants us to move to another level. You know, the old mentality with blacksmith shops has been okay, and that's been satisfactory. But in God, there is always so much more. And it might not be comfortable, because people want to always go for the easy option, you know, where it's more comfortable. But I think God's saying, hey, guys, we're in partnership with this. Let's do this together. And so, before we just break into breakout rooms, I just want to ask some questions. And they're not difficult questions, but they are relevant questions. And so the first thing is, what specific spiritual gifts has God given to you as an individual? Obviously, we've been praying and the Holy Spirit baptizes us with his power. Well, one of those gifts is speaking in tongues. Could be the gift of leadership. It could be the gift of help or administration or the gift of evangelism, or the prophetic gift. There's many, many gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us. And like Paul said, Paul, fan the flame. So what gifts has the Holy Spirit given to you? I think each of us, if we're asked that question, should be able to say, oh, he's given us this gift, and this gift. And there's also other gifts that God has actually given us that he's actually exposing us to. And how are you actually using them? So if you've got these gifts, how is God actually using the gift through your life? Or are you just sitting on them? We've got to be like those wise virgins, utilizing what God has given us. And the third question is, how are you keeping them aflame? You know, how are you energizing those gifts? I think of intercession as a gift. And I get out and I do prayer walking. I'm focused on praying. I realize there's a prayer meeting, and I intentionally put that in my diary, and I make sure I'm in the prayer room wherever I possibly can. I get into those online prayer meetings because I know the prayer intercessory side of me needs to be kindled. And also, you might want to be able to discuss in your breakout groups, what is the difference between a foundry and a blacksmith forge? You know, I've given you some ideas this morning about what a blacksmith shop does, but maybe you have insights that you can actually add into that. So this morning, we're going to our breakout groups. So I hope this has been an encouragement for you. So before we go into the breakout groups, I'm just going to pray that God puts a seal on this morning. Holy Spirit, I thank you that your spirit is engaged with our life, that you've been sent as a baptizer, Lord, of fire. Lord, and our prayer this morning is that you'd come afresh, that you'd burn brightly and powerfully in our lives. Lord, that we would quench or restrict or limit your Holy Spirit in any way, that we would be blazing like never before. Lord, that there'll be an intentionality about our lives, Father. Lord, and I pray that the gifts within our lives are multiplied. They are multiplied exponentially. Lord, we ask for your anointing and your grace to fall upon us in a fresh and powerful and sovereign way. We ask this, Lord, for your glory. Amen.